here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely weekend, and the Niners won today, so I'm sure you're all happy about that. So settle back and give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we hope you can take that time and participate. Please give us a call with a question or answer. You'll hear our questions in a moment, but if you have one of your own, that number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. Sometimes it does get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but give us a call as soon as you can, and we'll get you on. 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter, at yahoo.com, mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week, so, but of course, it's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners. And if you like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, now that the lovely and talented Debbie Kennedy is here, she will do her usual perfect job getting us online. So that should be available soon afterwards, along with some of our older gem-like shows. So, again, that's kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Jerry's favoring me with a very short introduction tonight. Jerry Nachman is trying to weather the drought.
Thank you very much. Excuse me. After watching F. Murray Abraham and Oscar Isaac squaring off in Inside Llewyn Davis this afternoon, Josh Cosman is convinced that more movies should include a biblical father and son team.
Thank you, Jerry. And all lanes were open to the Dana Rodriguez Bridge today. The only thing that got stuck was some of the cereal he ate.
So that is us. Begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay. What was the first movie to use gay as a slang term? I'll give you a hint. It's a...
We had this question.
Did we?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I asked it. I don't know.
It's a... Is there more to this?
I was going to give you the year. Oh. Or the decade, not the year. Or maybe the... No, I won't give it.
As a synonym for homosexual.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember the last time you asked this, and I said, was it advise and consent? And you said, no, it was earlier than that, even.
That was the gay bar.
That's the gay bar,
right,
exactly.
Right, right, right.
Oh, wait this a minute. This is coming back to me now.
There's a scene in...
this is a 30s movie.
Yes.
There's a scene
it's
in...
Flying Down to Rio.
Bringing Up Baby.
That's right.
Where Cary Grant is wearing a woman's nightgown because all his clothes are wet or something like that. And they ask him why he's wearing it, and he says, because I've suddenly gone gay.
That's it.
Yes.
Bringing
yes.
Up Baby. Very good.
All right.
Okay. I'll give you one more quick one. What movie used the F word for the first time? Major movie. It's a 60s movie.
Yeah, we would think. It would have to be. 60s movie. Would you say it was a major film? Or have you really heard of it?
We've all heard of it. It was not, I would not guess it was not a commercial success, I would say.
You would think.
I think it might have been a critical success.
Something like Putney Swope or something.
That's a good guess.
Something like that. That's a good guess.
That's
no,
a very
no.
good guess.
Putney Swope.
Yeah.
No?
That's a good guess, yeah. Let's see.
What about...
Be Before Midnight Cowboy, wouldn't it?
Not a Hollywood movie, I'll give you that hint.
Oh. Mm. Hmm. Not a Hollywood movie. You mean, but it's made in the United States? It's a U.S. film.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think it's a British director, but I don't know where it was made. I would guess Great Britain.
Oh.
So I'm giving it away now.
Well, yeah. Hmm. John Schlesinger kind of thing. Like Bloody Sunday.
No. No, that's a good guess, too, though.
That was too
What about
men?
Women in Love?
No.
That's good, too. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Not that popular.
No, right.
Yeah.
Why don't you read the question once more?
What movie was the F word first? What major movie was the F word first used? It was a 60s movie.
Okay. And let's go do a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, oh, great. I have a question or something to be solved.
Okay.
It has to do with playing cards. Now, each king in a deck of playing cards represents a great king or ruler in history. Can you name the four great kings or rulers in history?
Let's see. Do I know? Charlemagne's one, I think.
Very good.
Henry VIII is one.
No. Do you know which one is?
Is Alexander the Great one?
Yes.
Julius That's Caesar true. Is one.
Nope.
No?
So Charlemagne...
Can you name a suit?
I was always under the impression that the King of Hearts was Henry VIII. That's not the case?
No.
So, I'm sorry.
Perhaps Alexander the Great, Hearts, Charlemagne.
Charlemagne. No, let's see. Richard III? Not Richard III. Richard the Lionhearted?
Good guess, but no.
Not Napoleon. This is sort of the Middle Ages and back, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and you said Julius Caesar, and that wasn't right. Mm. And so Alexander the Great. Charlemagne. Are they all European?
Well, I guess you can say that by today's standards, I believe one would not be.
But if I said like Suleiman the Magnificent or something, would that be?
No, good guess.
What about Xerxes?
That's good.
Yeah.
No, we don't know the other two.
Okay, spades, King David.
Oh, okay.
And diamonds, Julius Caesar.
All right. Well, we did say Julius Caesar. All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Are the Jacks based on anybody? Or Queens?
Oh, that's a good question.
Jack Nicholson?
I don't know.
Jack Parr? Jack Nicklaus? Yeah.
And why don't you go ahead, Josh?
Sure. So tonight, of course, is the Golden Globes. Maybe they've already happened. I don't know.
They're happening as we speak.
Okay. Well, that's... Okay. So, you know, the Golden Globes, they give two best pictures, one for drama and one for comedy or musical. My question for you is this. There have been three movies that won Golden Globes for Best Picture in the drama category that were not even nominated for Best Picture Oscar.
Mm.
And I'll give you a hint. The last time this happened was 1963.
Go over that.
So these are the three movies that got the Golden Globe for Best Picture in the drama category, not comedy or musical, that were not even nominated for a Best Picture Oscar.
1963.
Happens all the time over on the comedy side. Most recently, The Hangover.
Could you give us the years? I mean, you said 63.
Well, I said 63, and I'll tell you, instead of giving you the years, I'll tell you that the Golden Globes have been going since 1951.
Okay.
So that gives you a 12-year window.
All right.
I'll tell you that two of these are movies that you know very well, and one of them is one that I had never heard of, but Dana probably knows because that's how he rolls.
And they're all drama.
Yep.
63. Wasn't even nominated. I don't know. A Child is Waiting.
No. Is that a movie?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a Burt Lancaster.
No. These are bigger pictures than that.
All right. 63. Yeah. No.
Well, that. Okay. About that. Well, let's see who knows. Or if nobody guesses them, I'll start giving hints.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, Sitting.
Hello.
I got a question for Josh.
Go ahead. Okay.
You know, that's Sergei Prokofiev. He scored three films with Sergei Eisenstein. What was, of all the three, which one of them was the one which had the score in which he didn't conduct?
Which he didn't conduct?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. First, I thought you were going to ask me to name all three, and I was worried because I can only name two of them. So I'm going to say Alexander Nevsky was never actually...
No, he conducted Nevsky.
Huh. Well, then it's... And he certainly conducted Ivan the Terrible. I had him backwards. Ivan the Terrible is the one I was thinking of that never got finished.
It was conducted by someone named Abram Stratovich.
There you go. What's the third one?
Oh, well, actually, I was going to say there was Alexander Nevsky, Ivan the Terrible, Part 1, and Ivan the Part 2.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So I couldn't name them all. Very good.
That was the Part 1, yeah. And there's my second question. Suzanne Somers has a bit part as a woman at a swimming party, which lasts 10 seconds before she and the rest of the guests are massacred by a maniac with a machine gun. What was the film?
Suzanne Somers, did you say?
Yeah, she has a bit part, lasts about 10 seconds at a swimming party, and when she and the guests get all massacred by some maniac with a machine gun.
That's that one of the Dirty Harry movies, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the second one. Oh, not Dirty. It's the one right after Dirty Harry. About the rogue policeman. But I can't. I'm sorry, I can't think of the title.
Magnum Force.
Magnum Force, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Excuse me. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134. Okay. Okay. What is the only opera about the daughter of a pope?
Lucrezia Borgia by Donizetti?
You're right.
Okay.
You're right. Very good. Good job.
Don't leave me out of this show.
Who was the pope?
I don't know.
Alexander the Sixth.
Okay.
That's all right. You didn't have to know that. Okay. Taking the presidents chronologically,
as one does,
yes. What are the only instances of one president following another whose last names begin with the next letter of the alphabet? In other words, one president's name would start; last name would start with a B, and the one after that would start with a C.
C.
So they have to go in that order.
Immediate,
they have to go in that order.
And you're saying there's only one example? You say there's only one example?
No, I said there's more than one example.
How many are there, if I may ask?
A few.
A few? Okay. Yeah. Fine. I have to think about that.
Taking the presidents chronologically, give me all the instances of where one president that follows another, last name begins with the following letter of the alphabet.
So, for example, Ulysses Grant followed by Rutherford B. Hayes.
Oh, that's very good, yes.
Okay.
That's it. That's good. You get the idea.
Unfortunately, I do.
All right, there's one.
Okay.
All right. Other question. These are the three most searched for names in the Nobel Peace Prize nominee database. In other words, when people go to the database and look for somebody who was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, these are the three most searched for names.
Peace Prize.
Nobel Peace Prize, right.
Mandela.
No.
You said the winners or just nominee? Well, there are no nominees.
Nominees. Right? Yeah, they're nominees. Sure.
Who nominates them?
An organization or a country?
Do we know? Are those
made
public?
Know. The public doesn't know what they are, though, I don't think. Do they?
That's news to me.
They
really?
Just name. They
They
give a list. Here are the guys.
You can find all
here
the nominees.
Here are the people who were nominated but didn't win.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did
what
not
a
know
bunch
that.
Of losers.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are the three most.
You may be on it.
I probably am.
You could be. I was looking for my name too, but I didn't find it. These are the three most searched for names in the Nobel Peace Prize nominee database.
Martin Luther King Jr.
No. All well-known people, or I wouldn't ask the question.
Yeah, of course not. Linus Pauling?
Good guess, no.
A Peace Prize.
Right.
Doctors Without Borders?
No, it's not. Are all individuals, no organizations.
Oh, individuals. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So this could be a winner or it could be a nominee. Okay. So, again, these are the three most searched for names in the Nobel Peace Prize nominee database.
Okay.
And? No, that's it. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is area code 415-841-4134.
Before we go to that call,
yes.
Bush Clinton.
Yes. You got the other one.
Is that all there are?
That's all there is.
Oh, okay.
There's only two, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. Good.
All right, good job.
Sorry.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Okay, I had a guess about the expletive in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Virginia Woolf?
Virginia Woolf? No, that's a very good guess.
That's a very good guess.
Very good guess in the right era and everything. No, it's not it, though. I don't know. Did they use that in that one? I don't think they used that.
I don't think so.
They used all these
euphemisms.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Anything else?
He's gone.
Done it? Okay. Sorry. Next call?
That was an excellent guess, though.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Ellen in San Francisco.
Hi, Ellen.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes, and I have a question.
Yes.
There was a fashion change recently that affected the U.S. money supply. Anyone have any idea?
There was a what?
A fashion change.
A fashion change.
Oh, fashion change.
So are you referring to the way somebody looked on money?
No, not the way.
George Washington has an earring now. No.
Are you referring to what the money is made out of?
Yes.
Oh, that's the fashion. Okay, well.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, they started adding. What did they add? Something element
to make
it? It
was linen, and then they...
Less counterfeitable.
And then it was, right.
No, it's not linen.
There's some...
But it does have to do with fiber.
Right. Fiber.
And this is American
hemp.
Currency?
Something to do with hemp?
It's U.S. currency, yes. U.S. paper money.
Is it something to do with hemp?
No.
What was the currency that people said it smelled different because they added? That wasn't in America, I don't think.
I don't know. I never get that new money smell.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
We have the old money.
You can spray it on.
Yeah. Let's see. So it's not hemp. It's not linen.
It has to do with one of the most popular garments made in the U.S.
Denim?
Yeah.
Okay.
And something changed in what denim is what made of? What fiber?
Cotton.
Cotton.
Yes.
And then something was added.
They did, yeah, I do recall something about that.
Well,
it wasn't any sort of plastic or a non-natural sort of thing, was it?
I don't know if it's plastic or what. Anyway, it's something that isn't cotton that was added.
Isn't
what from the classic Levi's? The fit has changed, right?
They put rivets in it?
I don't know.
Stretch fiber? Oh, yeah, that's good. Debbie got that. Stretch fiber. Some sort of stretch fiber.
Yeah, so they started adding spandex.
Oh.
And the point is that used denim has always been a major part of the paper that the dollar, that the U.S. bills were printed on.
Hmm.
And the spandex followed that up.
Interesting.
Huh.
I
never knew any of that.
So instead of using used jeans, now they're going directly to the cotton.
Interesting.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And so no longer do we have recycled jeans in our...
That makes me feel
better.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We're all switching to bitcoins anyway, so...
Not me. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And if you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what statesman said, quote, "The best argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter"? I love that.
A statesman.
Statesman.
Sounds like...
The best argument against democracy is a five-minute conversation with the average voter.
So is a statesman the dead politician, as they used to say?
Is that Churchill?
It is Churchill.
Oh, very good.
Okay, another quickie here. Name the five smartest dogs in order, if you can.
Rin Tin Tin?
Lassie?
No, generic breed.
He just wants the breed.
Oh, the breeds.
Yeah, breed, nothing.
I feel like I read somewhere that beagles are, dachshunds are like incredibly smart.
Not in the top five, according to this.
Border collie.
Number one.
I think they're generally working dogs.
Yeah, of course, that makes
border
sense.
Border collie's number one, okay.
border collie.
German shepherd.
German shepherd's number two.
Cattle dog or Australian shepherd?
Australian shepherd is number four. Very good, you guys. You're knocking these out.
All right, I'll stop there.
Yeah.
Two more to go.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
Name the five smartest dogs. We have border collie, German shepherd as one and two, and number four, Australian shepherd. I'm looking for number three and number five.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, my border collie had this presidential question.
Good.
Which I'm sure you've probably covered over the past 20 years, but it really...
We've covered everything.
No, you times. Never know.
Yeah. Okay, the oldest former president with living grandchildren. Currently living grandchildren.
John Tyler.
Yep.
Yes. Very good.
Currently living.
Yeah. Currently. Wow. John Tyler's...
Grandchildren?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
John Tyler was born in 1790... I guess.
Wow.
Yep, 1790.
So his kids must be 95 years old or something. No, not that old.
They're in their 80s.
Wow, that's amazing.
These grandkids were born in the 20s. And just as a personal thing, I mean, I have parents who were born in the 20s. And
yeah, I guess it's, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Not that long ago.
Yeah. And next call.
Only yesterday.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, is this me?
It is you.
Good. This is very, very recent. I heard this on a public radio station. What is another really good use for a 3D printer?
For a what printer?
A really good use for a 3D printer.
A 3D printer.
Well, they make everything out of it.
They've started making food now with it. I don't know if that's what you have in mind, but you can... You know,
people have made guns and things like
guns.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah,
I don't think that's what we mean by a good use for it. Can you narrow it down a little bit?
Oh, body parts. They're going to be able to make body parts.
Oh, really?
Or you know, I think after in a
working heart and lung.
No.
It's more of a learning tool.
Learning tool. Learning tool. You mean it's something you could use in a learning tool, for instance, you would teach a classroom of students with, kind of thing?
Yes.
Well, it could be a lot of things, I suppose. No, I don't think we know.
You can use it to map a function for a blind person. In other words, something that looks, you know, a shape that's just in a mathematical formula can be put to a printer and a blind person can feel its shape.
Interesting.
Okay. Interesting.
Interesting.
Great.
Good to know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. What are the two animals in the Bible with the power of speech?
Ooh. There are no parrots in the Bible, are there?
None.
Okay. Serpent. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
The snake speaks?
The serpent, yeah.
The snake speaks, yeah.
Yeah. The snake in the Garden of Eden certainly speaks.
Well,
that's one.
Be. Is the other one in the New Testament or the Old Testament?
No, Old Testament.
The Old Testament. No animals speak in the New Testament, I guess. So, power of speech...
Is it a famous animal, a famous character?
Are there minor characters in the Bible?
Yes.
Oh, many, yes.
Yeah, many minor characters.
Most of them. I mean, like the snake is famous. But,
yes.
But
Jonah and the whale?
No, the whale doesn't have anything to say.
Animal.
None of the animals talk at Noah's Ark that I recall.
No.
Well, there are plenty of animals in the Old Testament. That's
sure.
True.
Okay. All right.
Well, let's leave it out there. Maybe somebody else was paying attention during Hebrew school, Jerry.
I wasn't paying attention.
You weren't paying
attention.
No, you didn't go to Hebrew school, I can tell.
All right. Repeat the question.
The two animals in the Bible with the power of speech. One is the serpent in the story of the Garden of Eden, and what is the other one? Is in the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
Or the Old Testament.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm not expecting Bell, but I'm going to try.
All right.
So the F word, how about The Sporting Life?
No.
Oh, that is very good.
No, that's not right, but that's a very good guess.
I know they use bloody in that. I seem to recall that.
No.
Then I'm going to try for the Golden Globe guys.
Yeah.
Was HUD one of them?
Ooh, good guess, but no. Not.
What about The Bad and the Beautiful?
No.
Okay. I recently read a book about C.S. Lewis, and there are all these writers with the initials before their surname. And I was wondering if you would want to play with that.
Please. Yeah, we did this a long time ago.
This
but
has come up, and then I always forget.
It's worth doing this game again.
All right, I love this game. I wasn't around when the first one
Go ahead.
Bring him.
So, what is C.S. Lewis?
Clive Staples Lewis.
Right. And what about Auden?
Something Whiston.
Whiston Hugh.
Whiston Hugh Auden.
Good job. God.
Here, I thought I was going to hurt you guys.
Impossible.
What about Tolkien?
Oh,
John
three.
Ruel is one of the R's, but I can't remember what the other R is.
You're missing the middle R.
Yeah, I don't know. Robert?
Ronald.
There we go.
And what about Wells?
Or Herbert George Wells.
And H.P. Lovecraft?
Ooh.
Gosh, I used to know this. Let's see.
This was outside my can.
Is that Herbert again?
Nope.
No.
Howard Phillips.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you know A.A. Milne?
What?
A.A. Milne.
One of them is Alan, but I can't remember what the other one is.
One is Alexander, I think.
It's Alan. Alan Alexander, that's right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Thomas.
Good night.
Bye-bye. All right. I have a movie question. I haven't asked a movie question in a while. What I'm going to do is give you five actresses, well-known actresses, and they all played the wife of an actor in the role in which he won the Academy Award for Best Actor. Okay?
So
these five actresses all played the wife of an actor in the role in which this person won the Best Actor Academy Award. All right? Got it?
Not quite, but I'll get it when somebody guesses. Go ahead.
All right. Here we go. Number one, Laura Linney. Number two, Glenn Close. Number three, Meryl Streep. Number four, Wendy Hiller. Number five, Betty Davis. So again, these five actresses all played the wife of an actor in the role in which that actor won the Best Actor Academy Award. Number one, Laura Linney. Number two, Glenn Close. Number three, Meryl Streep. Number four, Wendy Hiller. Number five, Betty Davis. I'll give you each one guess.
Laura Linney plays Sean Penn's wife in Mystic River.
Very good. Yes, correct. All right. Jerry?
Hiller played opposite Wesley Howard in... The Shaw play.
Pygmalion. Pygmalion, but no, that's not it.
Okay. And Betty Davis is one, huh?
Yes.
Okay, I have to think about it.
All right. So we're still looking for Glenn Close, Meryl Streep, Wendy Hiller, and Betty Davis. They all played the wife of an actor in that actor's Academy Award-winning role. Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, this is Lynn in Reno.
Hi.
And I talked to my vet once about the smartest dogs, and he said, in his opinion, the smartest dogs were from the pound because all the other dogs are bred for some specific thing.
The smartest dog was what again?
From the pound.
From the pound.
You mean they're all mixed breed?
Well, that may be. I don't know.
You're probably right about that.
Because all the other dogs are bred specifically for something, and the pound dogs, you know, are just mixed and will do almost anything for you.
Right.
Why would that make them smarter or not smarter? I don't know. I get the reasoning, but I believe it's probably maybe true, but I just don't know the logic of it.
Okay.
Well, maybe it's not. I don't know. That's just his opinion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. How about either a Labrador Retriever or a Golden Retriever?
Golden is number five. Very good.
Okay.
Looking
right.
for one more.
Right.
Kind of a show dog type.
Show dog? All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
How about the poodle?
Poodle, that's it.
Oh.
Number three.
Poodles are smart?
Yes.
I never knew that.
And I have another presidential question for you.
All right.
Which president authorized the largest mass legal execution in U.S. history? And who was executed?
How when you say mass, how many?
39 people.
Wow.
So you're not talking about the Nuremberg war trials?
No.
You're not talking about the
this was domestic.
The execution of Lincoln's, the conspiracy.
There weren't that
Lincoln's assassination. There weren't 39.
About eight or so, yeah.
You're not talking about that, are you?
No.
Okay. All right, 39. Were the 39, were they Native Americans?
Yes.
Okay. Was it Andrew Jackson?
No.
Okay. So they were kind of made examples of, in other words.
Mm-hmm. The president actually commuted the death sentences of most of the almost 1,000 that were captured.
Right. So this is post-Civil War, Indian Wars kind of thing, right?
No.
No? Oh, no. Okay. So it's pre-Civil War.
No.
Oh, it's not. It's Civil War.
That kind of tells you who the president is.
Well, Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
Yeah.
And who were they?
Yeah, who were the 39?
Oh, deserters?
No. The Sioux Nation took advantage of the fact that the Minnesota troops had gone south into the Civil War and invaded Minnesota and slaughtered a lot of people.
Interesting.
In reprisal for the wrongs done to them. But the Army decided to make an example of them.
Interesting. What year was that?
1862.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night, guys.
Good night. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So the other animal is a donkey in the story of Moab.
Donkey.
In the story...
Moab?
In the story of No?
No, Moab.
Moab.
No.
Yeah, That is, you know...
The story... the donkey is right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes, Balaam's donkey. Yes,
Balaam,
I'm sorry.
Balaam's donkey. Yeah, Balaam's
right.
donkey.
Right. Against the Moabites.
Very good. I just have to... one comment very quickly about every year as January comes in, the DMV throw a couple of rules on us. And I like to make sure your audience is aware of them. I will say very, very quickly. One is about bicycles and cars. If you're driving a car, you must be 3 feet away from a bicycle in every direction. In every direction. So you have to be careful of that because the fine is $120. The policeman say you close the bike, even in the side, sideways or the back.
Did you get a ticket?
Did you get a ticket? Exactly. You can be stopped for that. And as some reckless, you know, bicycle drivers, sometimes it really is pretty stupid law. The second one is, if you move, now you only have 10 days to notify the DMV, otherwise you get fined $120.
Hmm.
So if you have any address, before they even care, now you do. So it's two very, very...
not bad to know.
Okay, my first question is, there's only two U.S. presidents that were impeached. Do you know which ones?
That were what?
Well, Clinton and Andrew Johnson.
Very good. Very good. That's it. Because a lot of people put Nixon in, but, you know, Nixon resigned.
No.
Before
right.
Okay. The second question was all of the flus, and it seemed like, you know, H1N1 is pretty contagious, extremely contagious disease, but it's not very lethal, although it is lethal enough. There's only one, there's one viral disease that if people get it, there's only one case of survival. in the whole U.S. history. A 7-year-old boy survived it after showing symptoms. Do you know which illness it is?
Rabies?
Rabies it is. You're right. Mm. You're right. Only one child survived it. And the reason I bring this up, H1N1, which is the swine flu, as you know,
mm-hmm.
H5N1, which is the bird flu, is very lethal. The first one, it is very contagious, but not as deadly. H5N1 is very, very deadly, but not contagious. If the two combine, we may have rabies in our hand. That really will cut the world population by a great number, as it did in the year 1918, 1919 with the Spanish flu. Thank you. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank good you. To know he's watching out for us.
I'm more worried about staying 3 feet away from that bicycle.
On the highway and, yeah.
And
right.
Bicycle driver, yeah.
All right. We're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry?
I don't think any. The first use of the F word was in what major motion picture? It was in the 1960s.
Okay.
I'm looking for the three movies that won the Golden Globe for Best Picture Drama, that weren't even nominated for Best Picture Oscar. The years were 1955, 1960, and 1963. 55 and 60 are very well known, movies associated with those years. 63 is more obscure.
Is 55 the Ten Commandments?
No.
All right.
Thought you were going to go for the right one.
Debbie was wondering if the answer to your question is Easy Rider.
No.
Okay.
That would make sense,
yes.
But no.
So 55, 60...
And 63.
63. 55. Yeah. All right. Okay, and... I'm looking for the three most searched for names in the Nobel Peace Prize nominee database. These are the three most, they're obviously very well known names, the three most searched for names in the Nobel Peace Prize database. And,
Henry Kissinger.
No. And, I have a movie question, and these actresses played the wife of what actor in the role that won them the Academy Award for Best Actor? Okay. These actresses played the wife of what actor in that role that won them the Academy Award for Best Actor? The ones we have left are Glenn Close, Meryl Streep, Wendy Hiller, and Betty Davis.
I've left enough time now. I'm going to jump in with my second guess on that, because Meryl Streep is the answer to Meryl Streep is Kramer versus Kramer.
That's correct. That is correct. Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the answer is Dustin Hoffman. Not Kramer.
Oh, fair enough.
Kramer,
fair enough.
So, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it me?
It is you.
Hi, guys. It's Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
I can't believe I got scooped by Eid on Balaam's ass.
Can you believe that?
It's an outrage. So I'm going to guess that one of the search terms in the Nobel Peace Prize database is Obama?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to clarify the question just a little bit or give you a hint on it. None of these people won.
All losers. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
No idea then.
All right.
But I do have a multi-part question for
All
you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So these are lines from classic commercials. I'm going to tell you the line, television commercials, and you tell me what the product was.
Okay.
The hand can be used like a knife.
It's not the Ginsu.
It is the Ginsu.
Okay.
In Japan, the hand can be used like a knife.
And they show them
with a tomato
going through the brick,
right.
If I recall. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
The biggest invention since the hook.
Ooh. Biggest invention since the hook. Can you give us any kind of hint on that?
Think along the lines of the Ginsu.
So it's an infomercial kind of thing, like a late night thing.
Yeah, before they invented that.
All right. No.
The pocket fisherman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Of course.
Yeah. Ron Popeil.
Ron Popeil.
Yeah.
So this one is spoken by a character in the commercial, "Hey, girls, we'll be back to pick you up later."
One of my favorite commercials of all time. I use that line constantly. Mr. Microphone.
Yep, that's right. Mr. Microphone.
Who's okay. Mr. Microphone? What is Mr. Microphone?
Mr. Microphone was, it was a portable mic that just, it was just a mic, and I guess it had batteries inside, and you would, they had a commercial where this punky teenage kid was driving by these girls and say, hey girls, I'll be back to pick you up later.
Don't remember.
It actually broadcast to your radio, so it was like a mini radio.
All right, there you go.
So he was talking through his car radio. Okay, last one is actually sung, although I won't sing it unless you guys don't get it for a while. A spring, a marvelous thing.
Slinky! Oh, very good. Debbie has that. Slinky.
It is the Slinky.
Oh. Very good.
Excellent.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And, Josh, I think it's your turn.
Okay, sure. Let's think. What should we do here with the time we have? Tell me the meaning of these words. I'm going to give you four words. I want you to tell me what they mean. Ursine, U-R-S-I-N-E.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, okay.
Vulpine, V-U-L-P-I-N-E. Corvine, C-O-R-V-I-N-E. And asinine, A-S-I-N-I-N-E.
Vulpine is
wolf-like.
Wolf.
That's right.
And ursine is bear-like.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And
corvine, I've never heard
of. Is that crow? Is that what it is?
It is crow.
Yeah.
And what was the last one?
Asinine.
Like
ass-like.
Like Ted Cruz.
No.
Please, no.
Specifically.
Asinine is
donkey.
You know, donkey-like.
Yes. Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, you guys knocked that one
well,
out.
Why don't
you give yourselves four bells to share among yourselves.
All right.
Okay. You left out porcine.
I did, because I knew you'd get that.
Yeah, you can ask.
All right, here's another one.
Bovine,
so
yeah.
Milton Bradley, before he was a corporation, was a person. The first board game that Milton Bradley designed in 1860 can still be found on store shelves today, although in a much modernized form. What was it?
It's something like Chutes and Ladders.
Not Chutes and Ladders.
What was the year he invented?
1860.
Wow. Under its current name?
Yep.
It's not a, okay.
Has no relation to the original name, the name they have today.
No, it is the same name.
Same name.
Oh, same
had.
Name. Okay. All right.
Parcheesi, he didn't invent. That's
no,
an Egyptian
that's an
game.
Ancient Indian game.
Indian game, yeah. 1860, kind
of.
Is it an adaption of a like an ancient game, or is it just made totally made up?
I don't believe
up?
So. I think it's made up.
Okay.
Is it a brand name? Or it wouldn't be like Pickup Sticks or something like that.
Lincoln Logs?
Not Lincoln Logs. It's
not Pickup
Sticks? It's a board game.
Oh, board,
it's a board game.
Oh, board game. Oh, yeah.
It's not a toy.
Your specialty. Okay. Gee. 18. Wow. And still in use today.
Yeah.
Still playing.
Yeah.
Still bought.
Yeah.
Is it like the game of life or something
it's
like
that? It's very much like the game of life.
Oh,
it is exactly the game
all
of
right.
life.
Well, I played that very much when I was a kid.
Of
yeah.
course.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well done.
All right. Good job. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, great. Well, everybody came up with the answers that I had, but I've got a couple questions.
Okay.
I assume you do not have an atlas there in the studio.
No, we do not.
Okay. Can you give me the approximate location of the islets of Langerhans?
It's in your ear. It's in your ear.
No.
It's in your kidney.
Yeah.
Kidney, okay.
Yes.
No, it's not kidney.
It's not the kidney. It's in
oh,
the...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the pancreas.
Pancreas.
There we go.
Right.
Sorry.
I could. Right. Okay.
Third time's
and
the charm. That was a great setup, by the way.
Thanks. This is Travis in Albuquerque, by the way.
Hi, Travis.
Hi. Second question, and let me preface this by saying that most states in the United States have a law on the books that says a surgeon cannot operate on a member of their own family. So here's the setup. A man is driving down the freeway with his teenage son. They're involved in a terrible car crash. The father is killed immediately. The son is very critically injured, and he's flown to the nearest emergency room and prepared for surgery. The surgeon walks in, takes one look at the boy, and says, "I cannot operate on him because he's my son."
Right.
How could you see?
Because he's the surgeon is the husband of the dead man, the man who died in the crash.
Well, the father died in the crash.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is the husband.
So,
Or the,
I'm sorry?
The wife.
This is,
the wife. It's the wife.
Wife.
Why
do you assume, why, the surgeon. That's right.
But why do you assume that they're heterosexual?
That's true.
That's
in the traditional telling.
I thought I would do a different
well,
telling.
Well, that's very big of you, but in the traditional telling, yes.
Yes, the surgeon is a woman or gay.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Okay. Let's see what I have here. All right. Who was the first American to have two different products named after them? And product by product, I mean, you know, something that's named after them that sell in a store.
Still sold?
You know, I think one of them is, but I don't know about the other one.
Can you narrow it down? Because we're at toward the end of the show.
Well, I mean,
well, let me ask you this:
is it something you consume or something?
Yeah, they're consumables.
I want to know this. Are they named after them in a kind of an honorary fashion, like the teddy bear, or are they named after them because this person invented them or had a hand in
their creation? This person did not invent the products.
Okay.
Okay. This person was totally unrelated to the field in which these products were made. So,
well, no. All right, never mind. So not like the Edsel.
No. I mean, that's, yeah. You get the journal.
The O'Henry candy bar?
No. Who was the first American to have two different products named after them? And the products are totally unrelated to anything this person did.
Wow. Annie Oakley.
That's a good guess.
Something like that. Buffalo Bill.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Paul from the Richmond District.
Hi, Paul.
One of the earlier callers inspired this question. During the 20th century, this person observed that by the end of the 20th century, there will only be four kings in Europe: hearts, spades, diamonds, clubs, and England.
Right.
You know who it was?
Maybe how about Lenin?
No.
This is a 20th century quote.
Yes.
And was this a European that said this?
No.
Oh, was it somebody like Ho Chi Minh?
No.
Was it a communist?
No.
All right.
You want a hint?
Yeah.
This person was a former king.
Oh. Oh.
But not a European.
Correct.
King Zog of out. No, never mind.
No. Interesting.
Former king, but not a European.
Dom Pedro of Brazil.
No.
Wait a minute, it's going to come to me eventually. A former king, but not a European. Not a European. And you're counting Russia as part of Europe.
Correct.
Oh. Thailand?
No.
Oh, I know. I've seen this quote many times. All right, who is it?
King Farouk.
Oh, of course. Okay. Very excellent. Good question. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is me.
It is you.
So what are the state fruit and the state vegetable of California?
Ooh. State fruit. Orange.
No.
I was going to say avocado.
That's the fruit.
Good.
The
Give
vegetable.
Me a bell.
Vegetable. Is the artichoke?
You got it. Good
All
job,
right.
Guys.
Okay.
One more question. One more question.
Yes.
As you guys are closing down. What is a famous Italian director and arguably his most famous movie? The title means I Remember.
Amarcord by Fellini.
Yeah, Amarcord, yeah.
You guys are on it tonight. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Call again.
Yeah, as long as we get the questions, you call. And Jerry, you have something quick you want to throw in?
Okay, what tragic historical figure did Justin Bieber call a great girl?
Anne Frank,
yes.
Yeah. He said if she were alive today, she'd be a Bieberite
or whatever they call it. Yeah, right.
Who knows? Josh, you have something quick?
I don't. I have sort of big multi-part questions, so take it.
All right. Well, I'll take another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that you?
It is us, yes.
Fantastic, it's me. I wanted to go back to the question about the accurate searches for Nobel Peace Prize winners, because that sounds like it's banking on human stupidity. It's amazing.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess that people think Stephen Hawking.
No.
No?
No.
What about Albert Einstein?
No.
Damn. What about Ron Popeil?
No.
No, but wait a minute. Can I piggyback on this? This is a great idea. Are people searching for Jesus?
No.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
No, not Jesus.
George Bush.
No. No.
Jesus lost out very narrowly.
You don't know what people might be searching
for. It's true. It's true.
Good idea.
But the most searched, so it has to be a lot.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, dang, I guess you stumped me. I figured at least one of those.
I'll give you the answer in a few minutes.
All right.
Thank you.
Can you describe what an anatomical snuff box is?
An anatomical snuff box? Oh, is that the belly button?
Nope.
That's great.
Very good. Anatomical snuff box.
Is it the philtrum?
The nose. The nose.
Ah, not quite.
The nostril?
Nostril.
Nope. You want to know?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's that little thing on the back of the thumb when you tense your thumb up, the two tendons.
Oh, I see.
What is that? I don't care.
Oh, you put the snuff
on
there.
You put the snuff in there and
you
go like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Haven't used it for quite a while.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello. This is Tom from Florida.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'd like to take a stab at the question of the first movie that used the F word.
Yeah.
Is it Easy Rider?
No, somebody guessed that, and it's a very good guess, but no, that's not. That would make sense, but no, it's not that.
Okay, I got one more question for you.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, by process of elimination, can you tell me which of the seven continents have never been the site of a detonation of a nuclear weapon?
Process of elimination.
Australia.
That was my guess, yeah.
Australia, sir?
No, that's not one of them. The British did tests there.
Oh, is that?
And not Antarctica?
That's one of them. There's never been a nuclear detonation there.
Right. That's covered by treaty, so they would never have
right.
that. And, well, I mean, you could say, I don't know, I suppose Japan is, I don't know if you're considering Japan a part of Asia or they're like the land mass of Asia, but.
Well, I'm sure there have been nuclear tests in,
oh, that's true,
in
yeah.
Siberia
oh,
or
yes,
whatever.
Oh, yes, you're right about that. South America.
That's the other one.
Right.
Antarctica and South America, that's it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay. Let me see if I have anything here I can ask quickly. I have the original names of some major U.S. cities. In other words, what they were first called. I'll just give you one. Fort Dearborn.
Detroit?
That's what
No. That was the original name of what famous big U.S., major U.S. city?
Fort Dearborn. No idea.
Nope. Okay. Well, I'll hold it till next week if nobody answers it.
Dearborn.
No. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, back again, huh?
I'm sorry.
You want Detroit? That's all right. You want Detroit for the movie question?
Yes.
All right.
So, Glenn Close was married to Jeremy Irons.
Right. Universal
of course.
Fortune.
Very well
good.
Done.
Wendy Hiller was married to Paul Scofield.
Right. Good. In A Man for All Seasons.
Excellent.
Davis was married to Paul Lucas.
In Watch on the Rhine.
Very
good.
Very good, Thomas. You redeemed yourself.
Wow.
Good many job.
Manyfold.
Can I go back and try for the movie for 55 in 19?
Yeah, go ahead.
Please.
Is 60 Spartacus?
Yes.
No.
Ah, oh, you're knocking them down.
Not tonight.
55, my favorite, East of Eden?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well.
Now,
What's the movie with the F word, then? You're going, you're
no,
in
no,
you've got to
give me 1963.
Oh, I see. Oh,
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the 1963 movie. You tell me who it's about. The winner of the Golden Globe for Best Picture Drama in 1963 was The Cardinal, directed by Otto Preminger.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
What do you want to know?
Who's it based? Whose life is it about? Oh. Who's the title character? The Cardinal.
Cardinal Manzetti.
No.
Manzetti.
No.
No.
No idea.
I didn't either. I'd never heard of this movie.
Well, the guy's an American.
You guys must have. You must have seen this movie.
Tom Tryon.
Yeah,
I've seen it. It's okay. It's
tell special. Us who the Cardinal is.
But it must have been based on an American.
Yeah.
Because the guy's an American.
Yeah.
So.
Who's the famous American Cardinal?
Is it the one in Boston? The what's so Kennedy's friend?
I know his name, but I don't know where he's from.
Oh, yeah. Cushing.
Cardinal Cushing?
No. Thomas left us. Oh, thank you, Thomas.
Famous cardinal would be Stan Musial.
Francis Spellman. Cardinal Spellman.
Oh, yeah, that's Boston.
That's there we go. Okay, good. Wow, he really he cleaned up there before
Good job.
He didn't get my answer, though.
No, that's too hard.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
I was just I originally called about Jeremy Irons, the son close played his wife, but I heard your question about Fort Dearborn.
Yes.
And I think that's Chicago.
It is Chicago. Oh, yeah. Chicago. Wow, very good.
Wow. Okay. Okay. As a native Midwesterner, I know all those facts.
Okay.
Good job.
Right. Thank you, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Brian from San Francisco.
Hi, Brian.
Hi. Did we get the F word?
Not yet.
I'm going to guess blow up.
No,
that's
not blow up.
Very good guess.
No.
Very, very good guess.
No, it's the right era, but no, that's not it.
And that guy that was on before just answered all the questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Give the man a bell.
Yeah, we'll give
him a bell. I would say 1955 would have been Marty, but I was wrong.
No.
Yeah. No, that won the Best Picture Oscar, so.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Time to clean up here. What do we got?
Okay, the first use of the F word in a major motion picture, 1967, was Ulysses.
Oh, all right, yeah, Joseph that was not a big hit.
No, Joseph Losey movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Josh,
I'm wiped out.
Oh, that's it.
Thomas just blew through here like a hurricane through Joplin, Missouri.
Okay, who was the first American to have two products named after him? That's Mark Twain.
Oh,
Mark Twain. It's there are three examples, actually, but there's only two different products. Great Mark Cigars, Mark Twain Cigars, and Mark Twain Flour. For some reason, I think the Mark Twain Flour is still around, but I could be wrong about that.
No, I never heard of that.
And the three most searched for names in the Nobel Peace Prize nominee database: Gandhi, who was nominated five times between 1937 and 1948.
He never won?
Stalin, who was nominated twice, 1945 and 1948. And Hitler, who was nominated once in 1939.
Wow.
Not a good year to be nominated for the Peace Prize.
Gandhi never won?
They thought about giving him a posthumous, but they kept to their policy of never. It had to be a living person in order to win.
Okay.
So, anyway, if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nopkin from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thank you.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and our big thanks to Debbie Kennedy for handing the board and phones tonight. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.